can't sleep, trapped in my own mind.
Anxiety.
Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
It's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
Well, I'm actually okay. We're back into the regular schedule of life, and that is annoying, but I also appreciate that I am back in a regular routine again, because it was turning into, I mean, I basically took 2 weeks off of life for a minute there, and I feel like it was just me chilling on my couch, walking the dog, and drinking wine, which, not a problem in my opinion.
Right, correct.
But I do think that I had to Google alcoholism this morning, because in the middle of the night, I broke out in a sweat, which we're in a really cold front right now. I mean, it was 16 degrees last night.
Yeah.
And the house, you know, I keep it a little chill at night. And so I had to Google it, because I was like, wait, am I not recognizing signs? And no, I just had a period of heavy drinking, because I have no issue saying no. But I'm pretty positive that that sweat breakout was an alcohol withdrawal.
Yeah, you can have alcohol withdrawal without being an alcoholic. There are plenty of people who go through that.
Well, because the thing is like, I don't drink to get drunk. I mean, I'm just chilling on some wine, and I can only think of one time on that break that I like got further than I usually do, and it's because I decided to go have dinner and have wine. Then I went across the street and hung out at a bar and talked to like the bartenders at this bar I like, and then I went home and I was like, fuck it, I'll just have one more glass of wine to top off the night. I'm on break.
Good for you. I mean, I don't drink to get drunk. It just happens.
It just happens.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so I'm on a schedule now again, and it's going well. I mean, I can get more into detail about that. But before I do, I'm going to utilize this turtleneck that I'm wearing right now and say, Anthony, how are you feeling today?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little tired today, but it's also because I also had a period of heavy drinking since about the election last year.
Oh, and probably started in like October for me.
Like around election week when things got really shitty, I definitely started diving in a little heavier than usual. And just sort of said, fuck it, through the end of the year, because things were a little like, you know, it was the end of the year. Things weren't really happening in some ways, and in some ways they were. Plus, there were lots of parties happening. We went to at least one or two every week. So it was a crazy few weeks.
Yeah.
And so we're doing dry January. And luckily, I haven't had to deal with really any withdrawal issues more than just, I mean, a little anxiety, but I'm always anxious anyways.
Yeah.
And once my body gets used to that, like, we're coping with alcohol. It's like, we don't have to use any of those other methods. Let's just cope with this.
Well, I get that. A lot.
So anyways, we're doing dry January. This is day 7. We are recording this on the 7th, and like it's good. I just am a little tired because I think like going that hard for that many weeks in a row between drinking and also socializing just really zapped me. And so I've been real like not super, super tired. We did like a 3-mile walk yesterday. I've been having to convince Joe to take walks.
Even in this cold.
He doesn't like it. I tell him he doesn't have to, but he does not like it. But, you know, it's for me so that I can go out and get some fresh air because I don't get to, like, I guess he technically doesn't either, but, you know, I'm inside all day and I'm not anywhere near a window. I don't see the outside world for hours at a time.
Yeah, same.
So it's just, you know, not even just being outside. I wish I had a window, you know?
Yeah,
if I
could same. See
some sunlight or some nature, I think I'd be happier at work.
Well, and it's so weird that I'm in a cubicle and like, this sounds so shitty, but based on my salary, I'm just like, how am I still in a cubicle? Like, I know what other salaries are in other departments on different floors. And I'm just like, what the hell?
What the hell are they not giving me an office in there? Yeah,
I mean, I know it's not based on salary, but in my head, I'm like, God, I'm paid window status.
See, I have my own office, but I'm not paid window status, apparently. I do have a window. It just overlooks the production floor.
Yeah. I mean, I have a very large cubicle, and it's not like the low kind, so I have kind of some privacy unless I talk out loud.
I mean, I've got plenty of privacy, not that I really need it, aside from like the fact that I've got a window that faces directly into my office that our janitor pops his head into, and it's a jump scare every time. But that's a different conversation. That's a different type of like
separate therapy.
That's a boundaries conversation because he does not respect them, and I have to be very insistent about them whenever I'm like, look, like I'm busy. You need to not be here. Because he just wants to sit down and fucking chat, and he makes himself at home, and I'm like,
Yep. I used to have someone like that. She retired, but no understanding of personal boundaries and all that stuff. And if you gave into it once, you basically open this door that it's like, oh, everything's okay. And so you just constantly had to keep your boundary up and look busy. And like, it was constant that I'd get up and walk to the bathroom because I'm like, I know you can't follow me in here.
Oh, that is my usual go-to. If I know the janitor's in my office mate's office, like if I know that he's in there. And the only way I know is that my coworker stops responding to messages, and it's like a specific time in the morning. And so I'll get up and I'll go to the bathroom to hide from this. So I get it. I'm the same way. But I feel like since we're touching on the subject and while we're talking about like alcohol, does your family have any history of substance abuse? I don't think I've ever asked you this.
Oh, my dad was an alcoholic for sure.
Yeah. So is your dad still alive? I don't know if I know that or not. I think so. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
He's still alive. And I think now he like regulates his drinking, but he definitely, I guess when I was really young, well, I know when I was really young, like he just drank all the time and he was drunk.
Yeah.
I guess maybe alcoholism doesn't affect me in a sense that, like, I don't understand the people that just don't know when to stop. Like, my body, I can just sense. I'm just like, oh, you know, this should probably be my last one. And unless you want to reach this next level.
Right.
The only time that I don't really notice it is if I have to go out with people and people order shots. It all hits surprisingly at a time that I'm not expecting. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I'm drunk. And then, like, you kind of hit that point where you're just like, well, fuck it, I'll have another. But even then, I know when my stomach's going to get upset. I'm thankful for that because then I'm like, well, I can't drink more because I'm going to get sick.
Yeah, I think that's also what trips me up about alcohol is that it doesn't make me sick ever. at this point, unless it's like certain alcohols, like milky alcohols will make me sick. But otherwise, I don't really have issues with it.
I also feel like it's if it's mixed. Because like if it's like mixing alcohols, I think that's the trigger, which always happens when somebody's getting shots or something. There's always a mix of some sort in there that upsets me.
It's crazy because by all rights, scientifically, that shouldn't affect it, but it feels like it does. Maybe it's a sugars thing, but, you know, my dad is a super heavy drinker, and my mom's dad was a very heavy drinker. Like my grandma divorced him, and my family alienated him because of his drinking.
I know my mom threatened to divorce my dad because it had gotten to a point where, there was, how do I phrase this? This is where I kind of want to filter it on a public show, but we had a family incident that wasn't, you know, like aggressive or dangerous, but there was just an accident that was caused by someone's drinking, and mom was like, you have to quit now or it's a divorce. And he did.
Well, that's better.
He didn't drink for years. I don't think he drank until after his divorce with mom. And then he went into a phase of alcoholism again briefly until he met his new wife, which I was too young. But if I was legal to drink, she would have drove me to alcoholism.
Yeah, it's weird because I didn't drink until I was like well out of high school. I don't think I drank till I was like probably 19 or 20.
Yeah, it was definitely like my late teen. I mean, I hit a little in my late teens, but it was definitely when I hit 21 with you guys. I was just like boom, 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 boom.
I know. Yep. Sorry, that influenced me.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, you know, I guess I did drink earlier than that, but only because like there was a night that my dad wanted to watch Blazing Saddles. On TV, and my mom didn't want to watch it, and we only had TVs with cable in the living room and in my bedroom. I think about that as like, now I think back on it and I'm like, wow. But it made sense because my dad usually worked second shift, and so by the time he was home, my mom was like, she'll be up for a little bit, but like she's already had all evening. He didn't get home till like 11:30 or midnight, and so, you know, he'll stay up and like watch something, but usually go to sleep. And yeah, their schedules just work that way.
Yeah.
But I guess it didn't this one time. And my dad wanted to watch Blazing Saddles, so he offered to let me have a glass of wine if he could watch it in my bedroom.
Oh, wow.
With me. So that was my first like glass of wine, was drinking with my dad in my bedroom watching Blazing Saddles.
That's kind of a cute memory, though.
It is. It's a cute memory. I never really think about it that way till like recently. And I'm trying to be a little bit more forgiving with my parents because I understand like they're just, I'm trying to be more forgiving with them in certain ways. Let's put it that way, to where I'm not like begrudging them certain things while still maintaining my boundaries. Let's not get too crazy, but you know, it's little things like that. Where, like, that is kind of a cute memory, but I feel like my dad hasn't had any issues. Like, he doesn't like drink and drive or any of that. It just, when he's off work, he cracks open a case of beer and he just goes.
Yeah, it's interesting. What's so funny is when I was younger, definitely when I was 20, I every Friday usually would go out and get drunk. And it was because I had a friend, we were both single, and I was 20, and we always went to this one Mexican restaurant in the town I lived in that never ID'd. And so I'd always get a pitcher of margaritas, so that way I wouldn't have to keep ordering in case they accidentally ID'd me once.
Right.
And then I'd drink that down, so you know it had to be weak if I was 20 and doing an entire pitcher.
I think about that now, and I'm like, man, if younger me could like drink as much as this me did, like I would have been broke for because I was always going out
because after that we would hop over to a biker bar on the south end of our town that I knew the owner, and we had a rule in place that I was fine there. If the bar fight ever broke out, though, I had to leave immediately.
Well, right, because the police
because if the police showed up, then you know, obviously that's gonna be a problem there. Yeah. So she'd sit there and go, if a fight breaks out, you have to leave. Don't stop. Just go.
It's so funny how, like, we put up barriers to drinking in the country, but then, like, we all as a society sort of like, yeah, whatever. Kids break will be them kids all the time. And let them do whatever they want. But, like, truly, alcohol is the most dangerous substance that people use for the most part. Like, it causes way more deaths. It's way up higher on the, like, addictiveness scale. It's wild to think about. Like, if you actually start digging a few layers deeper with alcohol, it's, like, incredibly harmful in certain ways. And now, granted, this is not me taking any sort of, like, high horse, because obviously I love a drink. But it's a self-awareness moment where, you know, it's just kind of funny to me, because it is almost like if people struggle with drinking, we look down on them in a way. And I did that for a long time with people until I started to realize, so like, how it's not about people just going out and having fun. Like, these people are not having fun anymore. It's not about that for them. They're out there just trying to exist in some way, shape, or form that doesn't cause them extreme pain.
Yeah.
And they found an easy coping mechanism, and the brain says, hey, this works, so let's keep
this
doing
is a-okay.
Yeah, your brain is like, this is absolutely working. We are coping with this. It's super easy. We put it in our body and then we cope.
Yeah.
And so I used to, like, of course, because I grew up in a small town and I grew up around super Christians, you know, who view addiction to be like just sin and awful, and which also pisses me off. It's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, same.
But it did kind of color my worldview of people for a long time. And then,
yep.
Like, I think as I'm getting older, I get more compassionate in some ways, and in other ways I get a lot less compassionate.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that I've grown to have compassion for, where I'm like, you know what? Like, who cares if the guy on the corner who's asking for your money wants some alcohol? Who gives a fuck at this point?
I mean, a few weeks ago, whenever I was still driving down to Houston, I stopped to get gas at a gas station, and a homeless guy asked me for a box of cigarettes. And at first I was like, eh. And then all of a sudden, like, I walked in, I was like, you know, if I was in his shoes, I would absolutely be an alcoholic and just want somebody to buy me something. So, yep, yeah. I'm going to get him a box of cigarettes.
Yep.
And the staff at the counter were like, why? Why are you doing that? Because I was just like, hey, that guy out there wants Palmolive. Palmolive. Wow. Just as an FYI,
you're fine. You're enabling him with that Palmolive.
I'm not Jesus. A smoker, so
wrong podcast.
Therapy is funny sometimes.
That is real fucking true.
Anyways, I told him, I'm like, if he gets these a lot, I don't know what kind he wants, but just this brand. And they were like, why are you buying those? And I was like, does he want some? And they're like, you don't have to do that. And I was like, I'm aware,
obviously,
that I have options.
Nobody's holding a gun to my head.
And I sit there and went, but I'm going to do it. And they're just like, they're expensive. And I was like, and that's when I was like, I would be an alcoholic. So just fucking let me do this for this guy. I don't care. I have the ability to do this. Just let me do it.
Just let me fucking do it.
And then, like, I think I got the wrong ones, the wrong specific kind of the brand that he wanted. And
yeah,
he didn't seem that happy. And I was like, well, okay, now you just got to fuck off.
Yeah, now you can go fuck yourself.
You got some cigarettes. Just live with it. I'm sorry that I didn't do better, but I'm also deaf and didn't quite hear what you said. I also probably got you Palmolive.
If I were outside of a liquor store and that's all, and I had to ask people to buy me liquor, I wouldn't care what the fuck difference.
They'd bring me whiskey and be like, God damn, well, fuck it. You
well,
know what?
Who cares? Yep. You know what? I would be upset if they brought me, like, Bailey's. I'd be like, ah, throwing up tonight, boys.
Oh my God. Bailey's Irish Cream, or, like, Rupplemint.
What is that? Tipsy Cow, I think is what it's called. It's those milky liquor drinks, and those make me sick every time. I can't do it. I can't do milk and alcohol. I don't know.
Somebody comes out with
a
bottle of Hypnotic.
That's upsetting. I see little swirls and I get a headache.
I like how God. I just turned like somebody's disastrous experience in life into like me going, ha ha ha, in my life it would be comedic. Because it's therapy.
It's a coping mechanism.
With humor.
Right. Yeah, it's just wild to me because I see different signs of addiction in my family where, like, of course, my dad and then like my grandfather, but like my dad's dad, that dude, I don't think he ever drank a day in his life. He made wine, but I don't think he ever really drank the wine that he made. Like, yeah. He would make wine and bottle it and bury it in the ground and then go dig it out. And like, it's nice. He did the whole thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was one of those people who grew up in rural Arkansas who would barter with like animal skins.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a whole thing. He would like go out and kill raccoons and go sell the skin, the pelts. And he just knew he could go do that. And I don't know, but anyways.
My God, it's like Red Dead Redemption in modern age.
Except like, I guess it wouldn't have been too modern. Jesus. Like it would have been like the 1930s or 40s.
Oh, okay. No. It wasn't that modern.
Yeah,
there. I don't know why my brain was thinking like the 80s or 90s.
Oh, God, no. No. He would have been probably a teenager in, I think, like the 40s.
This makes so much more sense. Okay. No. That seems much more regular in rural areas back then.
Yeah, that's right. He would have been a teenager in the 40s. So, yeah.
Okay. Never mind. This checks. Because rural areas didn't, you know, get anything. Half shit. My mom, when she was a kid, I'm pretty positive she said that they had an outhouse for a while. They didn't build the bathroom on until the 60s.
That was my great grandma on my mom's side had an outhouse for a while. She actually, at some point, like, I swear, she tells me about like sleeping on the ground with a rock as a pillow at some point whenever she was. And I was like, did you live through the Great Depression?
Yeah, which grandma lived through the Great Depression. She still like didn't have to do that shit.
I know. Well, she also lived in California at the time, so she was living out California way.
Yeah, she was getting that gold rush.
Yeah. Well, no, she didn't, because otherwise we would have more money than we.
not true. The Vanderbilts, they used to be rich, and now they have nothing.
Right. It's just the name, right?
Yeah, that's interesting how you can lose all your money and still survive on a name.
Do they still, like, have money of some sort? Like,
Because remember how, I don't know if you know the story, but
so they're, Anderson like, kicking Cooper, rocks? Like, they gotta live paycheck to paycheck?
Anderson Cooper is Vanderbilt family, and there was no trust when...
Oh.
His mom got, upsetting. I think, a tiny bit or something, and
but
whenever
he's our
he
most
came
important
along,
gay.
Yeah. Huh. He's a Vanderbilt boy.
No, I didn't know that. But...
I love history.
Yeah. But yeah, it's weird how I talk to my niece sometimes, looping back into, like, substances and things like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
We landed on it.
Well, I mean...
I had
know,
the
I
night
like
sweats,
it was
and suddenly we
I
have
feel
an
like
episode.
It was topical. Well, you know, I've been through bad experiences with, like, binge drinking before, but I think a lot of people have.
Oh, I feel like anybody in our early 20s did. That was just normal.
Yeah.
I thought that was normal.
Yeah, well, I used to, like, all of my days off and stuff, I would just day drink throughout the day for the most part and just chill at the house because I worked retail and, like, I was just so fucking exhausted of people. So I just get some wine and I day drink. And then at some point I started realizing that day drinking was giving me anxiety. And so I don't do it anymore. I might have like if we go and visit you and we go somewhere, I might have like a mimosa at like brunch or something. But then after that it's water. And even if we're like drinking in the evening, I'm just not going to drink all day because I can't do that.
It's so funny. Champagne's probably my biggest weakness. I can just down that so easily.
It's so easy to drink, and the bubbles go straight to my head.
Oh my gosh! And I'm like a happy, tipsy person with it. Like it's such a fun me. And so like brunch might be the area where I don't have as much boundary as I should because I'll be like boop 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 boop. But the funny part is you know it's like noon or one finally, and I'm like sober now, tired with a headache, And so I'll have to take a nap in the afternoon.
It's because it's lower point and then you're already diluting it with juices and stuff. So, I mean, exactly. You know, it does get you a little bit. You know, what's funny is even thinking of like, cause like my dad as a drunk, whenever he is drunk, is not a pleasant person to be around. He is mad at reality for being what it is for the most part. And he is just very unpleasant.
Yeah. My dad was like mean humored. It was always kind of this aggressive humor that, if you didn't play along right, he was mad.
He would do, yeah, that's so stupid. My dad, for the most part, like left us alone. He would just get like irritated and cranky and short. But like, I think about that now and I'm like, I can't think of any alcohol that just makes me upset. I never get mad when I drink. I never get like, I used to get dramatic in my 20s, but that was just because I was in my 20s. That wasn't anything to do with the alcohol. It was me being in my 20s and being awful.
That's it. In general, I am a very happy drunk. I'm a happy drinker. I'm chipper all the time. If I'm around people, for sure, I'm always chipper.
Yeah.
I just...
Like, I can't ever think of a time that I get, like, mad.
And I'm very particular about the people I hang out with that nobody goes mad or... too dramatic. Like, drama's fine, but you get like, I had one friend for a long time that every time he'd go out would get upset with his boyfriend and he'd cry, and it would always end the night that way, and I was just like, oh my god, like, this isn't even fun going out anymore.
I know. I hate that because you're anticipating it at that point. Yeah. Like, you don't want to hang out with those people. They're not fun.
No, it really sucked. But
yeah,
the only other thing I could think of is like the tequila. Something about tequila, like, I'm still fun and happy. I'm also like ready to be a little sluttier.
Oh, that was what I was about to say. Tequila makes me a fucking slut every time. I get kissy when I drink tequila. I like to kiss people, and it is very much like I had a friend call me out on it once because he took a picture of me while I was kissing him while I was drunk, and then he made a Facebook post. It was like, you know, he's getting really drunk if he's getting kissy. And I'm like, I know, but I like it.
I get handsy, but it's consensual. Like, I'm not just like touching people.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Like I will never, even drunk Jay is just like aware. Like, we respect people.
That's true. There are still boundaries. There must be boundaries.
Now, there'll be times that I feel like I'm getting aggressive with my joking, which it starts maybe, which I've never been told or anything that I push a boundary, but my brain goes, what if you're pushing a boundary? Hold on. And so drunk me is still aware, and I feel like you can be aware.
Yeah. I think what usually happens is I will get quieter and then I do the Irish exit. I love an Irish exit, and I just get the fuck out of there. I just peace out.
The bigger the party, the better I am at it too, because I can just be like, and if I get called out for it, after I'm gone, I will take the shit talk. I'm game. Go for it.
Yep. And I don't mind either, because I'm just like, you know what? Like, I want to go to bed, man.
I mean, New Year's, I was at friend's house, which, love them dearly, we knew it was gonna be a chill night and all, so
yeah,
but we just sat there, had a couple glasses of champagne, and then midnight hit and we were like, yay, cheers. And then I put my jacket on and I was like, bye. Couldn't Irish exit that one, but I was still just like,
well, it's a small group, so I get it. But like, it's funny that you brought it up, because I feel like alcohol is this cultural byline for, you know, a lot of cultures. Like, so many cultures have their own, like, takes on it. Like, British culture, it's so ingrained in. American culture, it's ingrained in.
Yep.
There's, like, especially Western cultures, it's just almost like a thing that you have to do.
Yeah.
In some cases. And I've heard of people getting offended, like chefs and sommeliers getting offended in restaurants whenever people say they're not drinking. And I'm just like, it's just wild to me. Like, the expectation is to do that sometimes. And I better as an adult now, because I don't feel like I have to do it if I don't want to.
Right. It's funny how much hanging out with friends and all can revolve around drinking. Because, for example, on Mondays, I usually meet a client for my side gig where we maintain a social media. And every week we went to McNelly's and would have a beer. Sometimes we went clear up to four. And sometimes we'd eat dinner together, all that stuff. I told him for the new year, I wanted to kind of cut back on doing that because I just feel like it messed up my Monday evening where I wouldn't get as much done as I should.
Yeah.
And so this year we decided to change our pattern. So we went to like a coffee shop for smoothies yesterday, and it took us forever to figure out what to do and where to go that didn't consist of the temptation of alcohol, which all these places near me have great alcohol choices. So I was like,
yep,
it's so easy to land on that.
It's easy to access. It's kind of everywhere. And it's funny because if you're in the act of like, if you're not trying to not drink, you won't really notice it. But if you're actively trying to not drink, you will 100% notice it.
And you can't really go to a restaurant because like we're not eating dinner.
Right.
And we don't really need a snack. We're just there for either a coffee, tea, or drink. And there's not a lot of options. And so it's just like, oh my gosh, why is this so much more difficult to work around alcohol? Like, it is ingrained in our society and so strong, like you've said. So,
yeah. And I've seen a lot more restaurants offering mocktails. So, I don't know.
But I feel weird going to a
restaurant. Trend.
Just getting a mocktail and then being like, bye.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's probably more conversation for next week.
That's a good point.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists @gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the U.K., or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.